The other half of the attack force would see that and know what had happened. Top, said Crazy Tom. To the enemy, that would be the front of the star, the position most exposed to fire from the main formation, the last place they'd expect Tom's tune to go. And once they were there, instead of continuing to attempt to engage the strike force coming against them, Crazy Tom had them shoot at the main rabbit formation, or what was left of it. Mostly disorganized groups hiding behind stars and firing at dragons coming down at them from several directions. The five of them in C-Tune had time to hit a couple of rabbits each before the strike force found them again. Without waiting for orders, Bean immediately launched away from the surface of the star so he could shoot downward at the strike force. This close, he was able to do four quick kills before the whining abruptly stopped and his suit went completely stiff and dark. The rabbit who got him wasn't one of the strike force. It was somebody from the main force above him. And to his satisfaction, Bean could see that because of his firing, only one soldier from C-Tune was hit by the strike force sent against them. Then he rotated out of view. It didn't matter now. He was out. But he had done well. Seven kills that he was sure of, maybe more. And it was more than his personal score. He had come up with the information Crazy Tom needed in order to make a good tactical decision, and then he had taken the bold action that kept the strike force from causing too many casualties. As a result, C-Tune remained in position to strike at the enemy from behind. Without any place to hide, Rabbit would be wiped out in moments. And Bean was part of it. I didn't freeze once we got into action. I did what I was trained to do, and I stayed alert, and I thought of things. I can probably do better, move faster, see more. But for a first battle, I did fine. I can do this. Because C-Tune was crucial to the victory, Wigan used the other four Tune leaders to press their helmets to the corners of the enemy gate and gave Crazy Tom the honor of passing through the gate, which is what formally ended the game, bringing the lights on bright. Major Anderson himself came in to congratulate the winning commander and supervise cleanup. Wigan quickly unfroze the casualties. Bean was relieved when his suit could move again. Using his hook, Wigan drew them all together and formed his soldiers into their five tunes before he began unfreezing Rabbit Army. They stood at attention in the air, their feet pointed down, their heads up. And as Rabbit unfroze, they gradually oriented themselves in the same direction. They had no way of knowing it, but to Dragon, that was when victory became complete. For the enemy was now oriented as if their own gate was down. Bean and Nikolai were already eating breakfast when Crazy Tom came to their table. Ender says instead of 15 minutes for breakfast, we have until 07:45. And he'll let us out of practice in time to shower. That was good news. They could slow down their eating. Not that it mattered to Bean. His tray had little food on it, and he finished it immediately. Once he was in Dragon Army, Crazy Tom had caught him giving away food. Bean told him that he was always given too much, and Tom took the matter to Ender, and Ender got the nutritionists to stop overfeeding Bean. Today was the first time Bean ever wished for more, and that was only because he was so up from the battle. Smart, said Nikolai. What? Ender tells us we've got 15 minutes to eat, which feels rushed, and we don't like it. Then right away he sends around the tune leaders, telling us we have till 07:45. That's only 10 minutes longer, but now it feels like forever. And a shower. We're supposed to be able to shower right after the game, but now we're grateful. And he gave the tune leaders the chance to bring good news, said Bean. Is that important? Asked Nikolai. We know it was Ender's choice. Most commanders make sure all good news comes from them, said Bean, and bad news from the tune leaders. But Wigan's whole technique is building up his tune leaders. Crazy Tom went in there with nothing more than his training and his brains and a single objective. Strike first from the wall and get behind them. All the rest was up to him.
Yeah, but if his tune leaders screw up, it looks bad on Ender's record, said Nikolai.
Bean shook his head. The
point is that in his very first battle, Wigan divided his force for tactical effect, and C-Toon was able to continue attacking even after we ran out of plans, because Crazy Tom was really, truly in charge of us. We didn't sit around wondering what Wigan wanted us to do. Nikolai got it and nodded. Bacana. That's right. Completely right, said Bean. By now everybody at the table was listening. And that's because Wigan isn't just thinking about battle school and standings and Merida like that. He keeps watching vids of the second invasion. Did you know that? He's thinking about how to beat the buggers. And he knows that the way you do that is to have as many commanders ready to fight them as you can get. Wigan doesn't want to come out of this with Wigan as the only commander ready to fight the buggers. He wants to come out of this with him and the Toon leaders and the seconds, and if he can do it, every single one of his soldiers ready to command a fleet against the buggers if we have to. Bean knew his enthusiasm was probably giving Wigan credit for more than he had actually planned, but he was still full of the glow of victory. And besides, what he was saying was true. Wigan was no Napoleon, holding on to the reins of control so tightly that none of his commanders was capable of brilliant independent command. Crazy Tom had performed well under pressure. He had made the right decisions, including the decision to listen to his smallest, most useless-looking soldier. And Crazy Tom had done that because Wigan had set the example by listening to his Toon leaders. You learn, you analyze, you choose, you act. After breakfast, as they headed for practice, Nikolai asked him, "Why do you call him Wigan?" "'Cause we're not friends," said Bean. "Oh, so it's Mr. Wigan and Mr. Bean, is that it?" "No, Bean is my first name." "Oh, so it's Mr. Wigan and who the hell are you?" "Got it."